My dear director, I must not speak as a musician to a musician if I am to give any idea of the incredible impression your symphony made on me. I can only speak as one human being to another, for I saw your very soul. It was revealed to me as a stretch of wild and secret country. I felt it as an event of nature. I felt your symphony. I shared in the battling for illusion. I suffered the pangs of disillusionment. I saw the forces of evil and good wrestling with each other. I saw a man in torment struggling towards inward harmony. I divined a personality, a drama, and truthfulness, the most uncompromising truthfulness. I had to let myself go. Forgive me, I cannot feel by halves. With me, it's one thing or the other. In all devotion, Arnold Schoenberg, unquote. Mahler, for his part, writes Alma, and again we go back to Alma's reminiscences. Mahler did his best to protect Schoenberg from the brutality of the Viennese mob. Twice, Mahler took a foremost part in quelling disturbances at concerts. The first time was when Schoenberg's quartet, Opus 7, was performed. The audience was quietly and by tacit agreement taking it as a great joke until one of the critics present committed the unpardonable sin of shouting to the performers to stop it, whereupon a howling and yelling broke out such as I've never heard before or since. One man stood up in front and hissed Schoenberg every time he came apologetically forward to make his bow, wagging his head from side to side in the embarrassed hope of enlisting some stray breath of sympathy or forgiveness. Mahler sprang from his seat and went up to this man. I must have a look at this fellow who's hissing, he said sharply. The man raised his arm to strike Mahler. Mohl, who was in the audience, saw this, and in a second, he'd forced his way through the crowd and collared the man. Mohl's superior strength sobered him, and he was hustled out of the Bösendorfer Saal without much difficulty. But at the door, he plucked up his courage and shouted, needn't get so excited, I hiss Mahler too! The second time Mahler came to Schoenberg's defense was when Schoenberg's chamber symphony was performed in the Music Society Hall. People began to push their chairs back noisily halfway through, and some exited the hall in open protest. Mahler got up angrily and enforced silence. As soon as the performance was over, he stood at the front of the dress circle and applauded until the last of the demonstrators had gone. We spent the rest of the evening discussing the Schoenberg question. I don't understand his music, he said, but he is young and perhaps he's right. I am old and I dare say my ear is not sensitive enough. I was telephoned that very night by Guido Adler, the professor of music history at the university. Gustav made a painful exhibition of himself today. It may cost him his job. You ought to stop him. I went home and shed tears when I thought of the direction music is going. Yes, I shed tears, unquote. Mahler also put his wallet where his mouth was and lent, in reality, gave Schoenberg money when he, Schoenberg, was jobless and in dire financial straits. We close this Schoenbergian episode and this lecture with a letter of appreciation Schoenberg sent to Mahler on the occasion of Mahler's 50th birthday. The letter is significant in that it speaks for the incredible number of grateful contemporary composers whose music Mahler performed and championed throughout his career as a conductor. I would name some of these composers for you now. Schoenberg himself, Alban Berg, Richard Strauss, Hans Pfitzner, Engelbert Humperdinck, Alberto Franchetti, Paul Dukas, Carl Lowe, Peter Cornelius, Carl Millecker, Jules Massenet, Carl von Kaskel, Wilhelm Kienzel, Giuseppe Verdi, Nicholas von Resnicek, Umberto Giordano, Antonin Dvorak, Ruggiero Leoncavallo, Pietro Mascagni, Gustav Carpentier-Halevy, Tchaikovsky, Weingartner, Goldmark, Bruno, Thomas, Roche, Busoni, Bungert, Lortzing, Alber, unfamiliar names, familiar names, the list goes on. And every work by every one of these composers was performed with the same care and attention to detail, the same eloquence and enthusiasm that Mahler lavished on the works of Mozart, Wagner, and Beethoven. What composer among us would not be eternally grateful for such a colleague and patron? Schoenberg's letter in brief part. Vienna, July 5, 1910. My dear director, your 50th birthday gives me an excuse for telling you what I should like to have told you many times over, how highly I honor you. and also how often I am bound to remember and be pained by the memory that in earlier days I used to vex you so often by my contradictoriness. I was wrong to voice my own opinions instead of listening to what you had to say. I ought at least to have bowed down unconditionally to the reality that emanates from greatness, that nameless quality I felt very clearly in your presence, and which for me is the power of genius. I have for long wanted to write you this letter, for it has long been on my mind. I find it a matter of shame not to have understood you from the first, and to have gone on and vexed you fills me with remorse. And perhaps, too, you will set down to my credit the attitude I now have towards your work, how highly I honor you in every way. With warmest esteem and devotion, yours, Arnold Schoenberg. Wow. Schoenberg is asking for forgiveness and absolution. Can you imagine, 36 years old, the messiah of new music, the unforgiving and unrepentant Schoenberg is asking for absolution from Gustav Mahler? There's no other letter like this in the entire history of Western music. At another point of his letter, Schoenberg implores Mahler to return to, quote, our hated and beloved Vienna, and that you may feel inclined to conduct here, and yet do not do so, because such riffraff certainly don't deserve it, or that you may feel no inclination, and yet do it for our joy, because perhaps we do deserve it after all. In any case, that you may be with us again, unquote. If Mahler was not in Vienna in 1910, then where was he? Schoenberg's letter reached Mahler in New York City, where Mahler was conducting the New York Philharmonic. How Mahler got to New York and the circumstances surrounding his departure from Vienna will occupy much of the next lecture. Thank you.